Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Paper Tray Radio, episode 10, airing on June 18th, 2011. My name is Erin Lincoln, and I'm your podcast hostess. Now, we have actually a really long program for you. I've just edited a couple segments, and we're already clocking in almost at 40 minutes. So what we're going to do is we're going to skip the discussion question this week. I asked you last week if you followed trends, and if you adopt those into your personal style. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to save all those answers for the next podcast and just go right into our interview with Lizzie Jones, who was the winner of Design a Stamp Contest back in February during our anniversary activities. She designed the Rhythm and Soul set herself instead of just concepting it. So we're going to talk to her. And then we have kind of some involved question and answers today. We have a question for Nicole, question for Lisa, and then there was a general question for the whole design team, so I kind of asked everybody, and I'll read all the responses. So let's just go ahead and jump into our interview. We have Lizzie Jones on the line, and if you remember or have been a part of the countdown the last couple weeks, you have known that she won in February our Design a Stamp Contest, and usually what that means is the winner will work with Nicole to develop a theme, and Nicole will illustrate it with her concepts. Lizzie decided to design it herself, and we have Rhythm and Soul, which was just released a couple days ago. So we have Lizzie. We're going to hear all about that. Hey, Lizzie, how are you doing?
I'm great, Erin. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited to hear from you. This is such a cool... See, because you're designing stamps. That's so cool. I would love to do that. So I'm really interested in learning about that. So how did you feel when you first heard that you won the contest?
Oh, my goodness. I went a little bit nutty around the house. I was making as much noise as humanly possible and jumping up and down, and I think I woke up my husband at one point.
Oh, really?
I did. He works a really strange shift because he's a restaurant guy, and so depending on when he's working, he could be sleeping until, like, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'm pretty sure I woke him up.
Well, that was a worthy thing to wake him up for. Did he understand why you were so excited?
Yeah, he actually woke up and started jumping around with me. He was pretty excited for me as well.
You know, I think all the husbands or boyfriends know what the 14th means, or my husband knows, it's countdown week. Leave me alone. I got work to do. So they all know. I mean, they've been trained at this point. So did you have a lot of ideas about the type of stamps that you wanted to design? And at this point, you know, you haven't even invited to design it yourself. You've just been invited to help concept it. Did you have a lot of ideas, or did you immediately hone in on the music theme set?
I have a handful of ideas that I was pretty excited about. And so it took a little bit of narrowing down and trying to come up with different objects I would like to see, different imagery I would like to see in those sets before I narrowed it down to the one that was my favorite. But when Nicole and I started emailing back and forth, I suggested a few different things. So that way, if there was something in the pipeline or whatever that I just wasn't aware of, we'd have the option.
And what made you go with the music one? Because, you know, it was actually a really good niche. We didn't have anything like that, and it goes so nicely with the sheet music background set. They were, like, made for each other. So what made you hone in on the music?
Many, many, many of the fellows in my life are musicians. My dad's a musician. My husband's a musician. My brother's a musician. And so that was a big part of why I wanted these images, because it's been so hard to find instruments, musical instruments, that I thought really work for those people. And so I figured if I had this opening, it was the best opportunity to really get those images that I've wanted for such a long time.
Now, were you ever musically inclined? Were you ever in band or orchestra, or is this?
I tried so hard.
You tried so hard. Art's really your thing.
I did choir and that sort of thing. But beforehand, I tried the trumpet and My mom bought me a cello for my birthday one year, which
wow.
was funny because I was 21. I had absolutely no musical ability whatsoever. So it's not that I haven't had musical experience. It's just that the instruments and I aren't really friends. So.
Well, clearly art is more your thing because you're a graphic designer, and talk about a lucky pick. You were chosen randomly out of this pool of people who entered to win this contest to help concept an idea, and you just happen to be a graphic designer, so your talent lies there. And I read on your blog, and everyone else can read a lot more of the backstory at www.writeyourmom.blogspot.com. That's Lizzie's blog. That you maybe not so subtly sent Nicole an illustration, hoping that you might be invited to illustrate it yourself. What was your thought process? Because I think it's brilliant. Good for you.
Well, I guess I thought, well, I've been doing this for so long. I've been doing graphic design for the last several years, and I've loved Paper Tray since, you know, the beginning. I've been following Paper Tray, and I thought, what a very fortuitous opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
I have the ear of the woman who can say yes or no to me designing a stamp set, and hurt to try. So when I sent along that first concept email, I attached the guitar, actually, in a little PDF, and I was like, you know, something along this style.
Hint, hint.
You know, just in case you needed an idea of where I was thinking to go with this. Yeah, I was about as subtle as a ton of bricks. But
so did she immediately email you back and say?
I think it was something to the effect of, oh, well, if you want to design and set yourself. And I was, on the one hand, thinking, oh, this is amazing. And on the other hand, thinking, I'm supposed to leave for vacation in 2 days. And so that was interesting timing, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. A lot of illustrating in the airport happened.
Whatever works, right? I think, you know, when I was writing my book, I think I wrote it like the first chapter on the airplane to Vegas. Like, I have no other time. We got to do it here. So did you have to learn any programming, or was it just completely natural? You knew it all outside of the parameters. I'm sure there's like certain size parameters for the stamps.
Yeah, I mean, all of the programs that I get the impression that the designers, the stamp set designers use, are the programs that I use every day. So I happened to have them, and I happened to be comfortable with them, and so it actually worked out really, really well from that standpoint.
Was it a challenge, or was it pretty just piece of cake for you?
It was kind of a challenge on the one hand, because I knew that there were images that I personally really wanted to have in that set that very few people were going to need. Like, I get that not everyone needs a banjo. Like, I understand this is not a foreign concept. But at the same time, I wanted to make a list and have it all really clear as to what I wanted to fit in there. And then the real challenge was just making sure that, like, everything was sized so that I could get as much value into that set for other people as well as myself. Just get as many images in there, make it versatile for as many people as possible. I was really, like, the whole time I'm thinking, will other people like this, or is it just going to be me? Like, you know, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be the only person that would enjoy
it. Well, I mean, it sounds like it was a very personal set for you because of your family, but it filled a niche. I mean, there really wasn't a musical theme set, you know, and I think it could be used for all sorts of types of cards. I mean, you mentioned the banjo, but get this. I mean, you could put a sentiment like, I pick you, and there's, you know, a banjo. It would work. So what made you come up with the quotes that you came up with? Did you have to cut some? That must have been pretty tricky.
I definitely knew I wanted to use quotes because there's so many really meaningful quotes out there about music. I knew that the majority of the sentiments, the bulk of the sentiments, I wanted to use quotes. And I just sort of started poring over books of quotes and websites of quotes to find some quotations that I knew that would really fit what I was trying to convey with the set. And there were a couple of quotes that I wanted to add in that my husband reminded me, like, you know, that's from a punk rock song. If somebody Googles it, they may not like the rest of the lyrics. And I'm like, oh, I should, not you said then. Okay. So, you know, there were things that maybe I wanted to use, but I thought wouldn't be applicable for everyone, or it wouldn't have enough versatility, or and that sort of thing. I sort of relied heavily on the more emotional aspect of what I was trying to get across with the set when mm-hmm. I chose the sentiments that I did.
So did you have to cut any images, or, I mean, were there any revisions?
I wanted to get different instruments in there, some more like band instruments and things, but I felt like the smaller the images got,
mm-hmm.
the less of an impact that I had. And
I like
wanted,
the size.
I like having larger focal points,
mm-hmm.
larger imagery to use on cards. And I figured this way, they're a big enough size that they won't get lost on a 12 by 12 scrapbook page. And so, you know, there were some instruments that I ended up thinking, well, you know, maybe if in the future Paper Tray wants to do like brass instruments, that like these will all be available to use together or something.
I know the perfect name. There needs to be a band camp stamp set. I think that would be great. As a former band nerd, band camp. But I like the names of the stamp sets too. I think band camp would be great.
Yeah, I had the hardest time with the name, and finally I just said to Nicole, I was like, I think you have done a fantastic job naming different stamp sets, and I leave it to you. You are the lady. And I think she picked a fantastic name. I was, as soon as I saw it in the email that she sent me just recently, I was like, oh, it's perfect. Like, it never even occurred to me that it's the perfect name for the set. You know, as far as revisions and things, though, mostly I illustrate really large.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was sort of a challenge to make everything the right size in the set. Because I know, like, logically, the things can't be as big as I originally mm-hmm. draw them. But it did take a few rounds of, oh, I've got to make that smaller. But now the lines are too light for the manufacturer, and so now I have to make that bigger. And oh no, this detail is getting lost. And you know, there was a lot of that. But I think in the end, I finally was able to strike a good balance on the size of the images and the way that all the details that I wanted to show up showed up. So I was pretty excited about that.
When did you see the final set? When did you know it was going to be released? What month?
Gosh, I can't remember when it was. I remember knowing when they did when this contest was run, that it was going to be May. And I was like, oh, this is perfect, because my dad's birthday and Father's Day are both in June, and my husband's birthday's in July, and, you know, it's all going to be great. And then I remember it getting bumped to June, and I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll get it in time still for my dad's birthday and for Father's Day. You know, I think that's okay, though, because I feel like there's enough in the set that, like, yes, there's a Father's Day sentiment, and maybe it'll come a little bit behind Father's Day for the people that were hoping to use it for that, but there's still, I think, enough basic sentiment-ness in there.
You know, when Father's Day comes around every year, you can use it for next year. You're a year ahead.
That's right. That's a wonderful way to look at it. You're just so ahead of the curve.
You are. Nobody. You don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
So you got to be a part of the countdown this month as a, you know, an honorary design team member. How was that? And was that a lot of an excitement for you?
It was really, really exciting. I've sort of always thought to myself, like, if there was a company I was ever going to work for, I'd want it to be Paper Tray. And so to even have this tiny taste of the countdown for 1 month was really, really cool for me, because, you know, the blog thing, I had sort of fallen off the blog wagon, and I only did it every 6 months. It's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a focused purpose for the blogging was a lot of fun for me, too, because I hadn't done it in so long, and I realized while I was doing the posts that I'd sort of missed it. But it was it was so much fun to have something, to have this reason to show people what I was doing and to be involved with this company that I love, you know, get to share in something that I look forward to every month as a customer. It was all just a really cool experience to be on both sides of things. And so I had a lot of fun with it.
It was really fun to see your projects every morning and see how you use the stamps, because I think when somebody who made the stamp uses the stamp, you get a whole different sense and excitement, and it's very personal. So do you have a favorite image?
I think probably that guitar, that very first image that I drew as the not-so-subtle hint. Because it was the first one that I did, and it was... You know, it's the instrument that my dad played when I was a kid and still does. And so the acoustic guitar for me has just a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings. You know, my husband plays too, and we have instruments hiding in every nook and cranny in our house. And you know, there are guitars hanging on the wall in my laundry room. And so it's a lot of fun for me to have that image be sort of at the fore when you know, it was peaked and everything. I think it was really exciting for me to see that first.
Now, I read on your blog that you didn't get your stamps in time, that you were working off printed images, which works too, but you finally got them. How does it feel to actually have your stamps, and have you got them in the CD case already? That's the big question.
I did get them the second day, I think, of the countdown they showed up.
Oh, good. You got to use them a little bit.
I did. I got to use them, and it was really cool to be able to, because, you know, most of what I do is print work in my everyday, and so to have something in my hands that, like, I could manipulate in ways that were more tactile was, I don't know, it's a little bit of a rush for me. It was, I think I've caught the stamp bug, you know, like, it's something that I would love to do more of, given the opportunity. Is that another one of those not-so-subtle hints? Because you can throw that in there if you want.
We can throw that in there.
I was really proud of them, but at the same time, I was just so glad they existed, that I could use them and I'd be able to share projects with family members of mine that maybe don't get it so much, you know, like, like, my dad is supportive, but when I talk to him about stamping, he's just like,
the eyes
glaze
over.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. I did get to give him a birthday card made with that guitar image. And
what did he think?
And it was really cool, because he was like, oh, where'd you find a guitar? And I got to tell him, like, I designed that for that company I'm always telling you about, and it's getting released, and you're going to get to see it, and people are going to get to buy something that I made. And I think he was touched by that. I knew when I got the stamps, and they, you know, they really exist, and people will get to use them, and it was, I don't know, it's sort of a surreal
experience. It seems very full circle.
Yeah, yeah.
It finally came back to the inspiration, which was your dad.
Yeah. It was great to be able to share that with him. Really, really nice in that way.
Lizzie, thanks for talking to me. I'm so excited for you getting your first set. And I hope we see more. And everybody else, check out Rhythm and Soul. It's on the homepage, Paper Tray Inc., because it was just released 2 days ago on the 15th. And congratulations, Lizzie.
Thank you so much, Erin. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, it was great. Okay, we'll see you on the boards.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, moving right along. We're going to take it to the phones for a question and answer period. You guys call in to our Google Voice account, which is 301-799-8338, and ask questions for our design team members, Nicole, Jennifer, who's our customer to service rep, or our stamp designers, and I send those out through the magic of email, and we get some answers. All right, so let's just take it to the phones and see what we're going to learn today.
Hi, this is Joyce from San Diego, Rach and Sarah's mom, on the forum, and I'm calling in with a question for Nicole. I've been a Paper Tray customer now for about 8 months, and I am so thrilled to have found you and so thrilled that your company exists. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the early days, how you founded the company, why you founded the company, a little bit of the history and folklore of the company, and also maybe a little bit about what you think the future holds for Paper Tray. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Joyce. Thank you so much for your fantastic question. This is Nicole, and Paper Tray Ink actually started around my kitchen table with basically three strangers coming together, believe it or not. It's kind of an interesting beginning that all started with a little nugget of an idea that had absolutely nothing to do with stamping. Julie and Jane, my business partners, assist in running the family-owned printing company in Cincinnati, and several times over the last 10 years or so, they had talked about one day printing their own line of stationery. They loved stationery and cards and that sort of thing, and they had made a few inquiries with some local graphic designers in Cincinnati and hadn't been able to find anybody that kind of shared their vision. And so they ended up deciding to go a bit of an unconventional route and try to seek out an artist whose work was more closely aligned with the vision they had, rather than focusing on the qualifications of, you know, a very specific graphic designer. So in the summer of 2006, when they were really began getting serious about starting things up with this business venture, I was working for Papercrafts magazine and had been contributing regularly for quite a few years at that point. And Julie, being an avid reader of the magazine, reviewed some of the back issues and found that my projects had a signature style that spoke to her every time she saw one of them. So she took a chance and sent me a note through a link on my blog. I was really cautiously optimistic after receiving the email, and actually I was on vacation when I got the email, and my mom told me, don't respond to her, she's probably some crazy person, you know, you don't even know her. It's really funny looking back on it now, actually, that was said. But I just had this feeling deep in the pit of my stomach that it was something I needed to do, was to respond to Julie's email. So a few emails transpired, and then a few phone calls later, we took a bold step and actually set up a meeting. And Paper Trading's first official meeting took place in my dining room in Tennessee. And although the three of us had just met, our roles within the company that are about to be formed just immediately fell into place perfectly. And we, all three of us, were really excited and just really passionate about what we were going to be doing. Naming the company was actually a bit of a challenge. We had lists of about 20 different ideas, and upon further investigation, all of them were already taken. So Julie actually ended up spearheading the final name with paper, the paper part. You know, we used that because everything we were doing was geared towards paper with the stationery and everything, and tray because there are three partners, and we just put them together to make the word Paper Tray. We ended up deciding to prepare our first stationery release for December of 2006. The only problem was that I had absolutely no idea how to use a computer. I mean, we're not even talking about graphic design skills here. I barely knew how to use a computer, period, in the story. I could do word processing and do some basic internet browsing, but that was really about it. It was actually kind of humorous when I told David I wanted to try to do this graphic design thing, because he's like, you know, you struggle with a bit of the basics, so this ought to be interesting. He was supportive, but it was just kind of funny. I think I surprised him by wanting to take this on. So I bought a copy of Illustrator along with a few how-to books and just kind of dug in. I remember I was feeling so intimidated by the program, and there were so many hours when I was frustrated because I couldn't get it to do what I wanted to do, but I just kept plugging on and just kind of learned as I went. Eventually, I got a very meager collection of stationery design, and we moved forward with a website launch in December, marketing, you know, the new products. We had a few orders, and we were pleased with the results, but we soon figured out that online sales of stationery products just wasn't a great direction for a company to go in. You really needed to be have a boutique or something where people could touch and feel that kind of stuff for it to really catch on fast, and that wasn't really something we were able to do. So shortly after the website launch in early December, Julie came to me with the idea that perhaps I should start designing stamps since I was such an avid paper crafter. I immediately, completely shut her down and insisted there was absolutely no way that I could ever do that. I was extremely intimidated by the idea and just had no desire to do it whatsoever. And as always, even to this day, Julie is one of my biggest cheerleaders and really pushes me to expand my capabilities even when I'm scared to do it. And I remember an exact sentence that she shared during that whole conversation. She said, "Stamps would just be great. You could design one set a month, make a few card samples, and we could just sell it on the website." I wasn't completely sold on this whole idea. I mean, how in the world could I manage to come up with a different stamp set idea every month? It just seemed really, really daunting. But Julie eventually managed to talk me into it, and I began working on our very first stamp set called Paper Tray. I had to learn a lot in a very short period of time. I had to learn and go through a bunch of tutorials with the stamp manufacturer on how to prepare the files, and just we had to decide how we were going to package the stamps. That was a huge conversation between the three of us, and there was just a lot of work that went into it. But eventually, I had a copy of that very first stamp set in my hands, and I very specifically remember how amazing it was to hold something that I designed in stamp format. It was really life-changing for me. So we went on, and I thought a lot about how we could market the set and get people excited about the possibilities it had. It was just a sentiment set, that first set, Paper Tray. But I knew it was so much more than that, because of the way I designed it, and I wanted to be able to explain all the options I had thought about during the design process and, you know, try to help boost the level of excitement for the release of the set. So I decided that my very meager blog at the time was the best way to go about it. So I decided to prepare to do a countdown of sorts to the release of the stamp set on February 15th. The very first countdown began 10 days prior to the release, and I was the only participant. We didn't have any other designers involved. And I'm still kind of amazed that I was able to hold people's interest for 10 whole days with just one single little sentiment set. We had planned on the new stamp set being made available on February 15th, like I said earlier. So we just figured we would add it to our inventory at midnight, you know, when the day officially begins. It was amazing to us that people actually stayed up until midnight to place their order right at that moment. It wasn't something we anticipated or anything, but with the, you know, excitement that built through the countdown, people were anxious to be one of the first stampers to get the stamp set in their hands, and they waited till midnight. The first stamp set, Paper Tray, was a success, and we've kind of continued that momentum since then. The countdown is obviously much more involved now. We feature about 10 stamp sets a month. We were one of the first stamp companies to do a blog countdown and kind of begin the concept of a release party leading up to the moment that the new products became available, just building up this level of excitement for product and everything, and we've enjoyed doing that, you know, over the years. We've had the opportunity to add so many accessories and companion items to go along with the stamps over the years. We've established a very great group of talented gals for the design team, and they help us so much in supporting the products and showcasing everything to the best of their abilities. And really, I mean, just a combination of a lot of the core things we did at the beginning still, you know, carry us through the journey today, and, you know, we're doing a lot of those things still today. So looking towards the future, we're really confident that, you know, we'll continue to grow and develop our business strategies and expand our possibilities, you know, just as we've done since the beginning. It's been an amazing roller coaster ride so far. Sometimes I have to pinch myself. I can hardly believe that this little kitchen table company has become what it is today. And it's really kind of amazing to think about the fact that it all began with three strangers coming together because of just a single random email. So that was quite a ramble, I know, but thanks again for your great question, Joyce, and we appreciate all of our customers so much, you know, supporting us throughout the years. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Katie. I'm Florida Mom of Two on the Paper Tray Ink Forum, and my question is for Nicole or anyone else on the design team, and I was just wondering if you ever get the opportunity to sit down and stamp, and then when you finally get to sit down and start doing something, you can't come up with any ideas of what you want to make. And if that does happen to you, how do you cure it?
Hi, this is Lisa Johnson, and I'm answering Katie's question. One of the things that I find that when I sit down and stamp for publication calls every once in a while, I do get a little stumped because I really want the concept to come across. And so what I tend to do is try to think back about the first time that I saw that stamp set or those stamp images in general and what inspired me at the time, and start stamping it out, maybe color it a little bit, play with different colors. And I know it's a big trend on making, you know, natural things look a little bit more modern by making maybe the leaves blue and the flower green, trying to just mix it up a little bit. The other thing that I do to kind of break that kind of stump, if I ever get into one, is think of someone to create for and do that. Create something for that person. And what I find is that I think of maybe what I remember about that person being maybe their favorite color or something that I noticed that they really enjoyed doing, or just a flower or something that made me think of this person. And I find that when I personally create for other people, that I'm inspired by all of the things in there, what has transpired between us. Maybe our friendship, maybe it's been a working relationship, maybe it's been something that's inspired me by something that they've created, maybe a color combination. So I think living life and just being out in life and being around people is a great way to spark your own creativity. I hope that answered your question, Katie. Thanks for calling.
This is Terry from Cool City, and Erin, I first just have to thank you and tell you how much I appreciate the glimpse into the life of a Paper Tray Ink designer or design team member. It is so interesting hearing how you go through your blocks and what your process is and how excited you are, and I can very much relate to when I get blessed to have a box from Paper Tray Ink as well. My question is, as we're in the middle of a release, and I'm thinking about this, how many people cram and wait? Like, how many of you are up? If it's needs to be posted by midnight, are up until 11:30 working furiously or feverishly to get your project done? So that is my question, and I would be curious to see what the answer is. Thanks so much, and have a great day.
Okay, Carrie, thanks. I'm so glad you enjoy the podcast. They're definitely fun to put together, and I even enjoy listening to them when I review them. I learn lots of stuff. So I took your question, and since this seemed to be addressed to all of us, so I couldn't really pin it down to one person to ask, I took it to the design board and I asked them, everybody on the design team, what their thoughts were on this, because I was interested. Who crams, who doesn't? I'm a combination of both, but we'll get to that at the end. And I'll just read down some responses for you. Danielle said, I definitely cram. I'm a last minute person. I'm very much a perfectionist, but creating at the last minute helps me to be decisive more quickly, and I actually think it helps force me to create better things. I work better under pressure. This month I had a lot of things due right at the same time and lots going on this month with my girls in school, field trips and field days. So unfortunately, I had to make everything the last few days before they were due. So it looks like Danielle crammed this month. Jess agrees with her, and she says, depends on the month and the project. For my bigger projects, I get those planned out weeks ahead of time so I can do any shopping or necessary prep work, etc., for them prior to the week of, such as group projects. Those are huge. I have all three kids home with me. Just homeschools, little side note. So last-minute trips don't tend to work in my favor. I work from big to small, getting the bigger, more intricate projects done first. I have been known to pull some all-nighters in my day, just due to doing school, etc. during the day, but I've been moving away from that as of late and getting into a better groove with timing. This is going to sound pitiful to some of you, but it seems to me that I cannot really complete more than 4 cards that I like in one day, so I have to space things out. I have no idea why 4 is the magic number. Just wait till you hear how many I create a day, and it's so very pathetic. We'll get to that in a second. Dawn says that there are days where she's cranked out 7 or 8 projects in a day, if she's absolutely had to, and there have also been days where she's been so brain fried it takes her a few hours to make just a couple cards. So basically when she gets her box, she maps out a list of exactly how many cards total she needs to make for assignments and for the countdown posts for her own sets, and then she divides the total number of cards by the number of days she has to get everything done. And so some days she knows she needs to make 4.5 cards or 5.35 cards or whatever, and I guess her husband comes home and gives her a hard time. Did you make your 4.532 cards today? And they have a lot of fun over that. But it helps her get everything done. Heather has good intentions, but there's usually cards being done at the last minute. She's always worked best when there's a little pressure, like a deadline, so that was just like Danielle. She tries to schedule things out and balance them with her family projects, but definitely isn't always as predictable as when creative blocks can happen, and that is key. Let me just tell you personally, you can't turn it on like a faucet, so it's really kind of hard to plan some stuff out, and that's my biggest struggle. Lisa says that she likes to work on her assignments over a week, and that her style seems to change. When she has more time, she takes more time with it, more detail into her projects, and then when she has a time crunch, she finds it more inspiring. It's kind of some pressure, and she goes more clean and simple. And it's just nice to change it up, she says. Michelle says most of the time she likes to work ahead on projects, and this is definitely true for non-release projects such as the newsletters and the senior team design posts at the first of the month. Depending on when we get our supply boxes, she might be a little bit more limited on time for the release projects. Plus, she's always got family stuff going on, and within that time frame, she usually has to cram during the release. Each month, Nicole sends us an email which outlines our new sets and which assignments that we have to work on. So she goes ahead and creates sketches for each project, and when the supply boxes come, she's ready to work without thinking too much about it. Now, Betsy, the powerhouse, says she wished she wasn't so last minute, but she definitely is. She always tends to start early, but when she does, she finds that she spends too much time just pushing paper around and not enough time actually committing to something and getting it done. So she's gotten to the point where if she doesn't have a deadline, she doesn't get anything done at all. I can totally relate to that. And Debbie says, depends on the month. She tries to get started as soon as the box comes, and the box is in bold and capital letters because it's quite the delivery. We all look forward to it. So unless she's finishing up another deadline or traveling, she does take a little bit more time, and she often stays up to the wee hours for 2 or 3 nights if she's on a roll and it's going well, especially if she knows she has other deadlines coming up. The closer to when the 13th comes, and that's when our projects are due. Our projects are due on midnight Eastern Standard Time on the 13th. So there's a whole day there where we're resting before they actually go live. The more pressure and less fun creating becomes for Debbie. So as for me, I agree that when there's a deadline and pressure, things tend to go better. But I always start out with the best intentions, and I do maybe a card a day for maybe a week or so. And towards the end, I have maybe 2 or 3 I have to cram in. As far as blog posts, especially group projects, I'm usually doing those at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to go live at midnight. So I totally push those totally to the end. Just get it done. I have little kids. I'm running around. That's the only time I have to do it. But the things I do definitely cram on is the podcasts and my videos. So today I have to do a podcast and a video by 5 o'clock, and it should be interesting. But, you know, my husband takes care of the kids on Fridays. Friday's my work day. That's when I get this stuff done. But I'm going to maybe, I think there's something to be said for leaving all the projects to the last couple of days so you don't have to, as Betsy said, push paper around too much. You just commit. And I'm thinking I might need to try that out, but that's a little scary because, ugh, what if it doesn't work out? So I don't know. I'm tossing the idea around. We'll see. So Carrie, I hope this answers your question. And think of us on the 13th at midnight as we're all scrambling to get our projects uploaded to the gallery, because that's when they're due. Okay, that's coming in at 40 minutes. Holy moly, that is our longest podcast ever, and we skipped the discussion questions. Don't worry, they'll be back next podcast on July 2nd. I love hearing your voices and opinions. This show is about you, so I'm definitely not cutting that out. We were just running a little long today with what we had going on. So you can still call in and tell us about what you think about trends, if you bring them into your personal style, or if you're a slave to them, always hopping from one thing to another. And that's the question from last time. I've been asked on the boards recently if I use all the question and answer questions that get called in. Absolutely. I am desperate for questions. If there is ever a time I don't use a question, it is because it's more customer service related and I'm just here to kind of have fun and be chatty and I'm just not qualified for the customer service questions. So I generally skip on those, and those are the only ones I skip on. And really your best bet is to contact Jennifer directly via email on our website. There's a customer service button. So go there. You know, stuff about like inks or when a stamp set's going to be in, and the standard answer to that is 2 weeks. Wait 2 weeks and we usually get stuff in. I do know that. I am qualified for that. I read it enough. So those are really the only questions I don't use. And I do get a lot of questions for Nicole, and I try to only have her call in one time per podcast. So those I will break up. I'll use one this podcast and one next podcast. So if you don't hear your question answered, listen again. Listen to the next podcast or podcast after that, and we'll get to it. Okay, so real quick, we have Joyce, Carrie, and Katie today. Going to plug in our random number generator, and our winner is Katie. So Katie, email in, I always say call, and let them know what stamp set you would like, and we'll get that sent out to you. Everybody else, be here on July 2nd with another podcast, podcast number 11. I'll talk to you then. Bye.